Welcome back to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. The Los Angeles premiere of the satire Honky is open now at Rogue Machine. For info on showtimes and tickets, visit roguemachinetheater.com. This month, we bring you stories on propaganda. This next story really impacted me when I heard it at the live show. Here's Ron Batita to introduce it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Carlos Folia is a designer for ESPN and a staff writer for White Eagle Productions. He's a new citizen from Argentina via Boston. He also acts, makes music, paints, and other pipe dreams. You can check out his work at raisinfalcon.co. Ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Folia.
Ethnically ambiguous. That's the term that agents and managers use for my face. Basically, that means that if it's on the shores of the Mediterranean or below the Rio Grande, I can play it, look it, be it, and culturally appropriate it at the behest of a studio or an ad firm. Sand nigger. That term's got to rank up there with the worst slurs imaginable. Luckily for most of you, I've taken the liberty of getting acquainted with it as it was hurled at me countless times in the fall and winter of 2001-2002 in my fair city of Boston, Massachusetts. The bastion of liberal, educated thought. On paper, at least. We could start on 9/11, but everyone knows where they were and what they were doing when it happened, so let's hop to 9/13, when the phone lines were fully functional again and we started to grasp the new world that we were living in. My father called me as soon as he could. Carlos, you have to shave. My father never decided to learn English, which did wonders for his business ventures over the course of 50 plus years in America. So this was all in prideful, arrogant Argentinian, but for narrative purposes, I always make him sound like Antonio Banderas. Why do you want me to shave? Oh, you do not want to look like one of them. My father was an intelligent man, but even the smartest people can misunderstand statistics when given the results from a small sample size. For example, in the 60s in Brooklyn, he was once beaten to a pulp and his clavicle shattered by a group of black guys, so in his personal Gallup poll, all black people were thugs and criminals. Being old is no excuse for racism, but it's worth to at least know why our fathers and grandfathers say the shittiest things. Dad, stop that. That's simply not true. I was saying this in broken Argentinian Spanish, but for our purposes, I'll make myself sound like myself. I didn't shave, but I assured my racist, bigoted father that I would. My father was an immigrant, but these days I wonder if he would be an ardent supporter of Donald Trump. The irony of his dislike for any non-white culture was really only lost on him. So I didn't shave. But I should have. Not because he wanted me to, but because something happened to the city of Boston after 9/11. It was very unlike the solidarity shown by perhaps our most famous immigrant, David Ortiz, in the aftermath of the Marathon bombings. That one happened in our backyard, in our front yard, really. We acted swiftly and mercilessly to catch the culprits, who incidentally lacked beards. As opposed to in 2001, when we were famously the city that let two-thirds of the planes, of those bastards onto the planes without so much as a pat-down. Boston was angry and embarrassed, and if you even looked the part, you were in for a rude awakening. And so it began. Sand nigger. Towel head. Terrorist. Thanks for 9/11, asshole. And any iteration you can think of. These were the vocal gauntlets that I had to walk through on an almost daily basis, to and fro. To and fro makes it sound a little more whimsical, doesn't it? But it didn't end just there, obviously. A few months into my newfound perspective on the Boston Brahmin way of life, I remember walking into a Shell gas station while filling up. I asked the attendant for a pack of Camel Lights. Halturido Walaha. I was pretty sure he wasn't talking to me, but like Travis Bickle, there was nobody else there. Halturido Walaha. There sure are lots of brands of chewing gum. Do we need 75 flavors? How many mints need to... I had to stop him. I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're saying. Do you want matches? No, thank you. And as I walked away, I could feel the stare of the clerk's eyes as he labeled me a turncoat traitor, pariah to the faith and culture that we both must clearly share. It wasn't so much that I was mistaken for someone of Arab descent, see above definition for ethnically ambiguous. It was that when I finally denied it, I was looked down upon as if I was ashamed and lying about who I really was. Should I have shaved? No. Because in my mind, that meant giving in. I'd be giving in to the propaganda that we have been bred to slop up like a bowl of Saturday morning cartoon cereal or whatever the fuck on-demand iPad shit we crammed down our kids' throats nowadays to shut them up. That notion that when something goes wrong, all Muslims are terrorists, all black people are thugs, all Latinos are Mexicans, all Mexicans are rapists, all Germans are Nazis. These are the messages that have been dividing us and pounded into us harder than that golden spike in Utah that was supposed to unite us all. But the question that my friends, the white ones because, come on, always politely ask when they hear this story is, well, didn't you just tell them you're not Muslim? To which I respond with, no. Why? Because in my head, that meant I was being as bad as the insiders. Well, didn't you just yell, that's racist? No, because my jean size was and is husky, and I'm not really intimidated by most. But at the same time, I knew, that if there was an altercation with a bunch of Boston University frat boys and a guy with dark skin with a goddamn beard, well, chances are Officers McIrish and Detective McSouthie wouldn't see things from my point of view. So I sucked it up, and it fucking sucked. And every time something happens that reminds us of the idiocy of a preposterously minute group of people per capita of any culture or race, it sucks again. But this time, I run my hands across my face just to revel in the good old days. And even though my father died 4 years ago, I look at my phone and somehow wish I could hear his racist voice again, even if it's just to argue with it one more time. This is not new. My would-be 90-year-old father had the same global outlook as that 18-year-old BU kid from Fairport, Connecticut, that 45-year-old Lebanese clerk, and even my 30-year-old artist friends from Silver Lake, that an olive-skinned, swarthy man must be an Arab, that an Arab must be ashamed of who he is, that an Arab must be a terrorist. The opposite of a silver lining is that we all have a black streak hidden inside of us, nurtured on propaganda throughout time. It's why we think the worst about certain cultures, or even a minuscule percentage of radical, death-loving dipshits bastardizing that culture. Believe me, I found myself yelling Nazi scum at the television when Argentina lost again to Germany in the World Cup final. Without even realizing it, it just happened. And I fucking hate it. But it's there. And the best that I can do next time, when the urge comes screaming down the pipe like a vintage John Lester two-seamer, is to just stop. I know I've been programmed to play whack-a-mole with my stream of consciousness and embedded prejudices, but I just need to stop. Maybe if we just took a minute before we let that black streak take over, we could learn to slightly reprogram the automated responses and judgments that emerge within us like Yosemite Sam guns a-blazing. Give it a try next time. Give it a try next time you feel that way. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but one thing's for certain. Fuck the German national soccer team. And that's based solely on my jealousy and their soccer playing abilities and has nothing to do with their cultural past, I swear. Thank you, and assalamu alaikum.
That was Carlos Foglia on Propaganda. Thanks so much for tuning in, and join us next week when we find Jesus. Click your way to RogueMachineTheater.com to find info on our award-winning stage shows, as well as get tickets to our next Rant and Rave live event in June. If you like the show, consider sharing it with a friend. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Rogue Machine Theater and have a new story delivered to you every week. Thanks for listening. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is David Jetty. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Nautistrum. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Yeah.